Bose. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. How are we all feeling?
Very well.
Now, Stephen, interesting story about you getting the car this morning because your partner was going to take it, but didn't,
yeah? Yeah, well, we're sharing one car at the moment, so she wanted to use it to get to work. She's working at some school today, I don't know. A bit far out. So, normally, if she takes the car, she drives me to work.
Yep.
And then takes it back home, has a quick nap, and then she can take it, you know, to, you know, her work later. And I basically just got to catch the bus home. She got up this morning, got dressed, she was ready to go. She's sitting on the couch about to put her shoes on. That was too difficult. She looked at her shoes, looked at me, went, I'm going back to bed, I'll catch the bus.
People that are not up and operating normally at this time are never prepared. They're never prepared for what it's actually like, are they? I just don't know.
And to be fair, I think it is harder doing it a one-off.
Absolutely.
You do kind of get used to it, don't you?
Like, sure. Once you get kind of into
in
the rhythm.
In the swing, yeah, but not for a one-timer. It's a no.
I don't understand the guys that work on the mines that do, like, days for, you know, 5 days and then have a couple of days off and then come back and do nights. I don't understand how they
proper,
do that.
Proper shift work, isn't it? That is real shift work and too hard.
It'll take a toll on your body, undoubtedly. Yeah. Like, no good.
How are you this morning, Jess?
Oh, fine.
Oh, excellent. Brilliant stuff. That's what we like to hear.
I woke up before my alarm and, like, half an hour before.
How's
go back to sleep?
I couldn't. I tried. I looked at the clock, 2:45. I'm like, come on.
That's your mistake. I have no clocks in my room. Ignorance is bliss.
That is a good way
of
living.
You wake up in the middle of the night and you've got no idea what time it is. It's like Schrödinger's clock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be midnight. It could be 2:45. You don't know. You just go back to sleep.
Exactly. I like that. That's a good vibe.
Better way to live.
I might get rid of my clock now based on that.
I'm telling you, it's the way to go. It's the future.
On that note,
UFM, the Novos, and this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast,
the Novos. Oh, happy Tuesday, everyone. Kath, little bit of a, I guess, bit of information for you.
Or for me.
Yeah, I've been trying to imagine what your dog Bryn looks like, because, like, you know, I'd have no idea. I only know that it's a certain. It's a larger dog, right?
Yeah, there's a photo of her on the New FM Facebook page, but yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I've got to see
She's
that.
A big black dog.
Oh, a big black dog, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, your dog likes eating the Drummies Alfresco, which is the little drumsticks on the back porch. And I was looking out at my neighbour's dog yesterday, also eating a drumstick on the back porch, and I was like, is this the twin dog of Kat's dog? However, it wasn't. I don't think it's quite as big as yours.
Probably not. Bryn's part Great Dane. She's pretty big.
Oh yeah, that's definitely bigger. But I think they might be related because they ate their drumsticks the same style. So there we go. I'm going to get a photo and we're going to do a side by side.
Okay.
And we'll see if they're two related dogs.
This is some Walkley winning journalism right here. We are getting to the bottom of it.
Well, Jess in the newsroom probably worried about her job at this point. But an investigation is ahead. And speaking of Jess, we will be catching up with her in a few minutes to a little local news chat as you wake up with the Novos at New FM.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5 with Jess.
I dropped my phone and damn near fell off my chair yesterday when this press release dropped into the inbox yesterday afternoon. Jess, State of Origin is coming to Newcastle.
It most certainly is. So earlier this year, the Newcastle and the Townsville mayors got together. They wrote to the Australian Rugby League Commission, really pushing for both Newcastle and Townsville to host a State of Origin game. Their dreams came true yesterday, announced that McDonald Jones Stadium will be the venue for game two of the newly expanded three-game series. We will have game two on June 6th. This is off the back of some pretty outstanding crowd numbers at McDonald Jones Stadium over the last NRL and NRLW season. The semi-final, we had more than 12,000 people for a standalone NRLW game, which was incredible. So hopefully we can pack out the stadium to absolute capacity on June 6th.
And it's really good that they're finally recognising that women can play football too. Yes, they can. and play three games.
And it was a schmozzle. Like last year, one Blues won one, Queensland won the other, but we're going to decide it on points. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's a bit weak, isn't it?
Yeah, common sense has prevailed,
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Like, yeah, everyone wanted it. Everyone was screaming for it. And we've got it. Thank God.
Do we know when...
Now we just need to get pay parity and we'll be right.
Yeah. Do we know when the tickets go on sale?
Don't know.
Can you start buying them now? Or?
Not usually.
I feel like no.
Okay.
No. The game's in June and they don't usually go on sale until the start of the regular season at least.
All right.
Yeah, partway through the regular season.
Circle that in your calendar because I've got a feeling it might sell out.
Crevo might even go.
Yeah. It's possible.
Oh, I wouldn't hold your breath. Part of me enjoys the idea of all the Sydney siders catching the train up to watch it as well. About time. That's what I think. Anyway, we digress. The 2024 Senior Australian of the Year for New South Wales is one of our own, Jess.
Yeah, so last night, the New South Wales Australians of the Year were, the finalists were announced. And the finalists from last night will join all of the other state and territory winners on January 25 next year for the National Australian of the Year Awards.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, 79-year-old John Ward from Georgetown, he was named the 2024 Senior Australian of the Year. He co-founded the Hunter Ageing Alliance. He also is the director of the Prison Medical Service and has done a lot of work for years for inmates and the elderly as well in, you know, advocating for better healthcare and better access to healthcare and all that sort of thing. So very exciting.
At that age, to be still doing that many things.
Exactly.
Gives me hope, you know?
It appears that scientists in China are trying to develop the Green Goblin.
Whoa.
What?
The actual Green Goblin?
Well, they're trying to make something green. They, through genetic engineering, developed or mixed two different genetically different embryos of the same species of monkey, and the monkey was born with green fingertips and eyes.
Wait, is
it? What?
How?
Glowing bright green fingertips and eyes. There are photos and everything.
Does it glow in the dark? That's what I want to know.
I reckon it, it says distinctive fluorescent green proteins were used to label the stem cells, and that's what made the monkey go green.
It looks like, looking over Kath's shoulder, I can see the picture here, and it's green like a radioactive vat in a cartoon. Yeah. Like, it's like proper fluorescent green.
Like, this thing should be in a movie.
I'm actually thrilled about this. I've been wanting and advocating for glowing animals for a long time.
Sadly, the baby monkey only lived 10 days.
That's sad. That is sad.
The scientists have not given up because they think that this mixing of genetic material to make different species will allow them to fix diseases like particularly neurological diseases.
That is good news, but also I'm mainly wanting the glowing animals as pets. That's what I'm mostly after here. Ever since I saw a glow worm once, I thought, imagine if it was fish. Imagine if you could have it like a dog or some crickets jumping around in a tank. Frogs, pet frogs. How good would that be? Glowing there. You don't even need a nightlight anymore. Just look at that. I mean, that's the dream, really.
Perhaps you should write a letter to the Chinese embassy and say, look, can you please keep producing green animals?
First, I'll have to learn Chinese, but yes, I'll put on the list.
And I just want to kind of clarify that there are proper animal welfare protections in place around this science.
I was going to say, it seems like a case of they've gotten so caught up in can they make a glowing monkey, they haven't stopped to think.
Should we make one? They just did.
Yeah. No, they've hidden it. They've hidden it behind neurological disease. They want a glowing monkey. That's their real motive.
They do. There's an equivalent of Crevo in this lab going, let's see if we can make animals glow. That sounds brilliant.
Oh, absolute anarchy.
Indeed. You're waking up with the Novos.
UFM. The Novos. And this is UFM at breakfast. At breakfast. The Novos.
All right, just a few minutes away, I'll give you the info on why you need to get some of your Christmas shopping done early this year.
All right, now though, Crevo, I want you to fire up the time machine.
Okay.
Because Kath Crevo, yesterday I took a journey back in time, right? Ooh. I went yesterday on my way home from work past, what's it, like Jesmond Central, I think it's called, the big shopping centre there.
Exactly.
I was going to Big W to pick up some bits and bobs. And at the, like near the entrance of the car park there, just opposite the bus stop, I saw for the first time in my life with my own eyes someone using a payphone. I could not believe it. I've only ever seen it in like movies or in TV shows before.
Full Maroon 5. I'm at a payphone.
Full Maroon 5-ing it. I could not believe it. I couldn't even tell you where payphones are. I saw someone using a real life payphone.
I think they're like free these days anyway.
Are they?
Yeah, you can.
So that's good.
They made them free ages ago because nobody was using them and it was actually costing more to make the phone cards.
And also like collect the coins, send someone out to whoop whoop, you know, so just to collect the coins.
And mostly they're used by people who are, you know, pretty hard up.
Or their phone battery's gone dead.
Well, that's what I thought.
Or their phone battery's gone dead.
Flat, yeah.
And they almost all of them are also Wi-Fi points now. So
really?
Yeah.
If you run out of data,
it would have been helpful
on Optus Day.
Look, the number one reason that people use payphones, you know, is either their mobile phone is dead or they need to call 000.
There you go.
So it's really actually very important that they still exist. Well, sorry, I digress. Please continue.
All I was going to say is I've said it before and I'll say it again. This show, while being entertaining, also thoroughly educational.
It certainly is. I mean, I mean, the fact that there's a person using one in Newcastle, that is something that we should be proud of. Because I don't think it's happened in many places in Australia.
Australians are the biggest fan of Lego in the world. And there is very big news for Lego fans coming up soon on
Exciting!
Strap in. Run, don't walk to get your Christmas presents because this is huge. You might have seen this on the telly. DP World, who are this port operator, one of the big, the biggest in Australia, has had, they've been hit by a cyber attack. Right, which seems like such a weird thing to happen because I always imagine port workers, they're called Sharon and Daryl and they've been working on the docks for years. They wear high-vis and it's that high-vis where like the shiny strips, they're all a bit dirty and don't reflect anymore. And they're not worried about anything like computers and all that. But it turns out that all these ports and stuff, highly computerized. It's all like everything runs
it's
right?
It's the future now, I suppose, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And they had 3 days of interruptions with this cyber attack, and they're basically full disconnected from the internet.
I've seen this.
It's basically like, you know, in a movie when you see the Pentagon, right? And they've gone, we've been under attack, just pull the plug. And you see someone like literally rip out the plug. That's basically what they've done. They're fully disconnected from the internet. Imagine you go into work one day, oh, no emails, no phones, no nothing now. It's just the old days. Quick, get out the logbooks. Where even are those? You wouldn't know, right? But what's the reason this matters is 3 days. 3 days doesn't sound like much, but at this time of year, that is going to have flow-on effects for so many things in the lead up to Christmas. So there'll be stuff that's out of stock come Christmas time because of this 3 day window, because you get this like build up and backlog of containers. Right. So things that they're saying might be built up and backlogged. Electronics, clothes, toys, home goods, which is a lot of Christmas.
Yeah, presents. A lot of Christmas stuff. Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, if you've got certain things that you want to get, make sure you get them early. It's interesting. They did one interview with Dan Murphy's to see if they'd be like affected by this because everyone needs a little tipple come Christmas time. Like, oh, no, we've already got all our Christmas stock in country already. They're not taking any risks whatsoever. Don't panic about your beer and stuff. That'll be all fine. But all your electronics and everything like that, if you've got something very specific in mind, make sure you get it. Might be disrupted.
I guess a great excuse as well to buy locally this year.
Absolutely. Stuff that's made in Newcastle, in and around town, because you know that's not going to be affected by the ports, right?
Happy days. And look, the other thing as well is, when you say they're full disconnected, they are full disconnected. So if you're expecting something to come and it hasn't come yet, No point emailing him.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually wait till next week because maybe you'll hear then.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you boys Lego fans?
Big time.
Haven't played with it for a while, but as a kid, I loved it.
No,
I had a big collection.
You're not an AFOL.
My brother,
adult fans of Lego, AFOL.
For his birthday, my brother, a couple months ago, got this like life size Lego version of R2-D2.
Nice.
From Star Wars, yeah.
That is cool.
I'm excited to see that when I go back to Perth.
Lego is super cool, and Australians are the biggest consumers of Lego on the planet.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Must be per person, yeah.
So there was really big news for Lego fans over the weekend. This new mega store opened in the Pitt Street Mall in Sydney. It is the largest Lego store in the world.
That is cool. That's a tourist attraction, really.
In itself.
Absolutely. So it's a bit like the Charlestown Square Lego concept store, except it is much, much, much bigger, and it's got a lot of those really big kind of Lego constructions that are just kind of
thousands of pieces, right?
Yeah. So there's the Rainbow Tree, which is 183,394 bricks.
What?
There's a wall relief of the Opera House, which is 303,719 bricks.
300,000? A third of a million bricks? That'll take ages to build.
And there's a span of the Harbour Bridge, which is well over 500,000 bricks.
You're going to need a big carpet to lay all these out to make sure they don't get lost.
And also, how big, like the instruction book, like a telephone book, I can only imagine. Page 2,000.
So there's a lot of unique things to this store, including that they have bespoke Lego. Tailored Lego. They have a pick and build wall, so you can pick a piece. And they have Lego specialists, a bit like, you know, the Apple specialist at the Genius Bar.
Find
the exact piece that you need for whatever it is that you're building.
Yes!
What I'm really excited about, and I think we should do this because I think we need a little Crevo Lego man, is that you can actually go and have your own tailor-made minifigure.
Oh, like the tiny people.
The tiny,
it?
The little people. Sick. So it's the first time this has been available in Australia. You can get the hair, the face, the torso. Wait 20 minutes and it's yours.
Wow, that's pretty quick as well.
I know. We could go and get the whole team. We could have like a little
Novo set.
That'd be great.
That is
Come on.
I'm excited about this. I mean, you've got to drive to Sydney, but still, it's worth
it,
right?
Look, if you're not keen to head to Sydney, but you want a Lego fix, just head out to Maitland. Head out to the Maitland High School this weekend because Maitland Brickfest is on. It is a massive event. I was shocked to learn how big this event. It's a fan event, right? So it's run by Rainbow Bricks, which is this Lego user group. Mm-hmm. And they're raising money for the Maitland Hospital volunteers. It's the 7th edition of Maitland Brickfest. And there's going to be over 90 tables of exhibits with over 30 exhibitors there. It's going to be huge. Everything from Duplo through to Star Wars displays, everything in between. And there's going to be a Lego build area, remote control Lego trackers, monster Lego raffles, and Lego retailers all there at Maitland High School this weekend.
Yes, people love Lego is what the message here, isn't it?
Well, I love Lego. I'm going to be dusting off my resume, and with any luck, you guys won't be seeing me next week.
Hopefully,
I'm going to be one of these Lego experts. How cool is that?
Very cool indeed.
The Novos, waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
And a very special good morning to a whole lot of researchers at the University of Newcastle celebrating this morning after they managed to get some pretty decent grants.
What are we talking?
Millions.
Millions?
$3.7 million over 7 research projects. It's what's called the Australian Research Council grants. These are the main big grants that are given out to all kinds of researchers except for medicine. Medicine have their own bucket of money.
Okay.
And they're very, very competitive. So researchers all across the country at all kinds of universities put in these massive applications.
Yeah,
like
right.
These applications are, you know, like often 20, 30 pages long.
Wow.
And you wait a long time to find out. So
how long are you talking, like?
Months.
Still, you're right, 20 pages. Yeah, wait a couple of months, get millions. I'm getting in on this university rort.
Then you have to do the work. So the projects that have been funded include a whole lot of environmental stuff. So they're doing some research on carbon dioxide capture and conversion, wave energy, microplastics in soil.
Nice.
And a project that looks at enzymes that can break down plastic waste, which is fantastic. There's another one on rockfall hazards, which is great. And the one that is pulled the most money, so over $1 million going to this chemistry research project looking at protein shapes. And I've got no idea what it means.
Protein shakes. I can do them. Millions of dollars. Sounds shakes. Great. Oh, shakes. Oh, that shakes. Sounds harder. That sounds harder.
Oh, well, congratulations to them. Hey, up next, team. We've had the news. We've had music. We've got a dilemma. Some social etiquette around hotel and hotel rooms. We'll be breaking it down. I need Newcastle's help next. And if you've ever felt bad for, I guess, taking some novelty items from your hotel room, you know, a bottle of shampoo or whatever, you shouldn't feel bad because it turns out it might actually be okay. Etiquette expert William Hansen has posted this viral TikTok with the do's and don'ts around taking a little souvenir from your hotel room.
Things like the dental kit, the shaving kit, any miniatures of shampoo or body wash, that's absolutely fine. But things like the mug, for example, or the cups and saucers, the glasses, the pillow, the robe, please leave it in the room.
Now, I don't know who left William Hansen in charge, but anyway, that's his do's and don'ts for what you can and can't take from hotel rooms.
He left one out there, really important one, the towels.
Well, he did, which, so, like I was going to say, this has caused so much, I guess, conversation and argument online in the comment section around this video, but it has left me and lots of people like yourself, Kath, confused because no mention of towels.
That's it. And when there's, you know, the thing with the shampoos, right, is they've often got the logo of the hotel. The hotel gets free advertising because you've got that in your bag for ages. Towels often the same. The logo on there. Free advertising.
Well, I mentioned towels as well because I am guilty of this. I'm going to keep this pretty vague because I'm hoping not to get a bill in my letterbox, but I was on a lads trip, staying in a place like near Mile Lakes.
Okay.
And basically, it was our last day. It was checkout day. You know, you got to be out at 10 o'clock. So we're all packing up, getting ready to go. And we've made a plan that on our way back to Newcastle, we're going to stop in at like Samurai Beach near Nelson Bay, go for a quick dip and have a feed while we're there as well.
Nice.
A little halfway stop, enjoy the weather, and then, you know, continue our journey back home. We try and extend our holiday a little bit, if you will. But my towel, soaking wet, and I knew I needed a beach towel for the day. There was one, my solution was right there in front of me. It was hanging on the little rack in the bathroom. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to pocket this one, put it in the bag, use it for the day. Surely that's okay, right?
Well, I don't think...
Don't look at me in such a judgy tone.
You can't take the towel, Stephen. That's one step too far.
Do you reckon? What do you think, Kath?
I think it's one step too. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, justifications and reasons why you might take a towel out of a room. Like, for example, if you're going to the hotel pool.
That's fine.
That would be legit. Because you haven't taken it off the premises.
Yeah, that's right. Not off the property.
Yeah. Once you've taken it off the premises, that's stealing.
No. Yeah. Stealing, schmealing. It's just borrowing for an extended period of time.
Are you planning to return
it, are you? I'm going to bring in Scott Chippy from Pell, my favourite producer, because surely he is a man like me who thinks, you know what, sometimes in this world it's finders keepers.
Oh, look, I've been guilty of it before. Years and years ago, that randomly a towel just sort of ends up in the duffel bag, but it's not a staple. Like, you don't go to the hotel room and go, you know what, I'm taking? I'm taking the towel with me every time. It's on an as-needed basis.
I'll go one step further. I've never bought a towel.
They're all hotel towels, aren't they?
I've not once in my life purchased a towel.
So if you go in your little linen cupboard section, they're all like, that white colour that's only at hotels.
They're real nice towels. All of them are, I'll
real
say that.
Fluffy.
Real nice towels in my living
and
closet.
And you haven't bought any of them.
I have not bought it. But
oh,
surely
Stephen,
I'm
Stephen, you're a criminal.
No, surely I'm not alone in this. Surely people think it's fine. I mean, the things you can take from a hotel room are, you know, expansive. And, like, there's such a repertoire of things you're allowed to pocket when you leave as part of your excessive fee you pay to stay in that room.
Yeah, you've probably paid $65 for the room and you're taking a towel worth $80. No.
Oh, don't use logic. Yeah, don't use logic on me like that. I was here for a bit of support. I didn't get any.
Not from me. Definitely not. I think it's wrong, Stephen.
You might have to go to Newcastle to get some support.
Okay, well, let's let Newcastle decide. 4967 4105 is that magic number. Let us know, right or wrong, to just, I don't know, pocket the towel as you leave a hotel room. Surely it's a little, you know, a little petty thief.
Oh, no. That key's in the word.
Victimless crime.
Oh, no.
Best caller on air today will pick up a $100 gift card from Revolution Sports Park in Merrillville. Plus, we have some double passes to give away to New FM's advanced screening of One True Love's at Event Cinemas Katara.
Chippy, I believe I've got a bit of support from someone who maybe is not as brave as me, wants to, you know, mention it on air.
Yeah, Matt from Mannering Park has called up this morning. He had to go, but he said that he agrees with you, Stephen, but he wants to know, what about the coffee and tea sachets and the sugar sachets?
I'm telling
you, to take them.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you now for free. If I think it's okay to take the towels, coffee and tea, that's child's play. That's a real beginner, you know.
You go into your like pantry and all the little coffee, like the coffee is in those little long tubes that only come in hotels.
It really is. Coffee and tea sachets like that is really like a gateway souvenir. It just leads to, you know, like bigger and better souvenirs. That's all I think. All right, let's go to the phones. Morning, Colin. How's Cessnock?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Tell us, what are your thoughts on this?
Stephen, I know about 15,000 people staying in a hotel in New South Wales at the moment that'll agree with you.
Yeah, good man.
They're all wearing green.
They're all wearing green.
Is that they're prisoners? Oh, yeah. You go straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Okay, well, I guess that scared me straight. I won't be taking downs anymore.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
And up next, if you're a bit of a sports lover, my partner Siobhan and I, we absolutely battled it out over the weekend in some psychological warfare. One of the great battles of all time. I'll give you all the details and, of course, the winner of said battle very shortly right here.
Some happy news for sports lovers. Over the weekend, Sam Kerr confirmed she's engaged. She's
engaged. Come on.
That's so lovely.
I know. So Sam Kerr has been with her partner, Christy Mewis, who's also a professional football player. She plays for the United States for a couple of years now. They've been together since 2021, and they confirmed to a US magazine in People magazine on Friday that they are indeed getting married.
Oh, that's so cute. Are they are doing the long distance?
Yeah, they're doing the long distance thing. Yeah,
that must be tough, right? When your profession, like, because you actually is really, really hard to relocate, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like a job in IT or something, you know, where you can work from home. You got to go where it is, like you said. So, but congratulations to them. I'm sure they'll make it work. One of the cutest couples in the world,
perhaps.
They are, absolutely. On Saturday night, Siobhan and I partook in one of the great intellectual battles, right? So, I mean, when you think of intellectual battles, you think maybe like chess, mastermind, hangman, and of course... the fast food Mexican standoff. Indeed, we locked eyes. I mean, my partner Siobhan and I, we're on a bit of a health kick at the moment. So, I mean, we're trying to get to the gym like 3 times a week. We're also, as part of this health kick, trying to eat a little bit healthier.
Right.
So, after a tough work week, what greeted us Saturday evening when we started planning for dinner was 3-day-old tuna and rice bowls sitting in the fridge. Indeed. We work so hard, you know, we've battled to the end of the work week.
Grinding it out.
You want to treat yourself a little bit, and the prospect of leftover tuna and rice bowls, and I'm talking like tin tuna as well, it's not like it's, you know, fancy dancy fresh stuff.
Yeah.
Not a prospect that really, I guess, appealed to either of us.
Rice gets that dryness to it too once it's been in the fridge for a few days, and there's no way to revive it.
Yeah, so when, you know, once the doors opened to the fridge and her and I both locked eyes on the tuna bowl and then locked eyes with each other, what ensued could only be described, I guess, as like psychological warfare. Because we both clearly wanted a takeout, but neither of us wanted to be like the weak link or the irresponsible one who's, you know, given up on our health kick and suggested fast food. So, I mean, we started using all the different tips and tricks tricks, you know? Like, Von was working the next day.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? The rice bowls, they'll keep all right. You can have them cold at work the next day as leftovers.
Trying to palm it off.
Yeah. Well, you know, you need to... We've got nothing. That's the only thing we've got in the fridge. So you need something for work tomorrow.
What will you eat?
Yeah, you can't go with nothing.
Yeah.
So maybe if we buy a bit of food now... I was like, we need to sort out something now, you know, so that you can still have lunch tomorrow.
So you're trying to throw out the idea without being the weak link.
Exactly. And, you know, like, she's doing the same. Like, at the time, we had, like, a Domino's voucher lying around. Also, you know, like, Macca's have got their 30 deals in 30 days at the moment. So, like, the financial aspect, we're saving some money. This is a real, like, you think Wimbledon, right? Real back-and-forth tennis match.
The old flip-flop of the tennis ball back on each side of the court.
Yeah, that's it. Me throwing up a little hit. Her throwing up a little hit. Me throwing up a little hit. Now, I reckon I've found the best way to win this battle because I have suggested we get the takeout without me suggesting it. I've gone, after this back and forth ensued for about 5 minutes, I've said to her, oh, let's just get a takeout. You want a takeout, right?
Oh, so you're throwing it onto her.
Throwing it back to her. She's like, well, would you want a takeout?
Oh, she's gone back to you.
I was like, yeah, I'm happy to have a takeout if you want a takeout. Eventually she's gone, yeah, I'll have a takeout. And I have won the battle.
Congratulations.
It was so difficult. It was so hard, but worth it, you know. We went and treated ourselves real cheap meal, you know. We went to Macca's, so no substance at all in that, but... After a hard week and after a hard-fought battle of, you know, fast food Mexican standoff, I think we both deserve the spoils of said warfare.
Congratulations, sir, to the winner of the spoils.
Got a message on Instagram looking for a bit of advice, so I thought, you know what? That's part of our job here is to help the community. That's
entertaining and educational.
Exactly. Here's the message. Dear Crevo, thank you for your entertainment each day. Love the show. Please say welcome to Kath. She's doing a great job.
Hi.
Long time listener, first time messenger. It's always nice. I write to you as I'm suffering from overachievement. Do you have any tips to bring me back down to earth, make life a little bit harder? All the self-help books in the Maitland City Library seem to be all about making life easier. Please help me out.
Right, okay.
So thought, that is a bit of a different challenge, right? So that's what I'm here to do, help out. So here's a couple of tips for you. Obviously, they want to stay anonymous, and that's all right. You always feel free to, well, you know, message us. So if your life's running a bit too smoothly, a good tip is to give yourself, and I like to do this sometimes, give yourself some surprises. So here's a good one. Go to a couple of your pairs of pants or shorts or whatever you wear and cut a hole in some of the pockets. Because then what you'll do is sometimes you'll lose your keys or your wallet and nothing takes you down a peg. Like when you're at the supermarket, you go to pay your groceries or whatever. Uh-oh, wallet's not there. You're like patting yourself down and, oh, can't pay.
What a panic.
What a panic, right? That'll give you a bit of an adrenaline rush as well. Also, don't be afraid to make some deliberately bad financial decisions. You know, everyone's always about like, oh, barefoot investor this, be smarter that. But if you take out like a payday loan, even if you don't need it, their interest rates are outrageous and you'll be stuck with like owing extra money. That'll just bring you back down to earth.
How well off is this person?
Well, I'm just trying to help them out. They're having a rough time, right? Now, when it comes to health, obviously, you know, there's a lot of information out there. Live a healthy, active lifestyle, that sort of thing. But sometimes just a simple substitute can get you on the wrong track, right? So if you stop, instead of drinking all this water that they're all recommending, if you swap that out for Coca-Cola, and instead of, say, snacking on an apple, snack on some congealed bacon fat, you're going to be just left a little bit less, you know, well off, right? You'll be a bit more unhealthy. You'll have to run a bit more and you'll, you know, get that balance back, right? And here's another tip on the health. If you fry everything in dripping or lard, you actually end up better in terms of getting rid of that olive oil because that's such a healthy oil to have in and amongst your food.
Oh, my God.
And your food will taste better.
Well, that's an added bonus. Maybe I'll need to think of a way to ruin that. Now, also, if you're looking too good, now this is, you know, a tip really for guys. If you're looking too good, everyone's always asking you out on dates and stuff like
that.
I'm listening. You'd be suffering from this sometimes. Yeah, yeah. What you can do is you get a razor and shave the middle part out of your head so it looks like you're going bald or got a receding hairline. And believe me, as someone with a receding hairline, that will slow down your chances of success in dating and in life in general. So they're just a couple of hot tips for you to bring your life back to balance if you're overachieving.
You can always just do what I did and chuck away your massive six-figure career and go and do something fun like work in radio.
Also,
New FM is local as, and you're waking up with the Novos.
New FM.
Oh, team, it is my favourite time of the day. Yes. We are minutes away from What's the Goss with Scott Chippy Frappell. What's on the way today, mate?
Well, firstly, you're making me blush, Stephen. But a big, big international artist has announced that he's going on tour. But is he coming down under? We'll find out the details next.
Oh, I cannot wait. It's so exciting. Stay in your car. Do not go anywhere. What's the Goss in minutes here on New FM.
Up next, I'm going to get on my soap about a basic amenity that every single one of us should have access to.
All right, that's soon. Now, though.
The Novos. What's the Goss?
New FM. All right, Scott Chippy Frappell. Who's going on tour and are they coming here?
Well, at the current moment, no.
Oh, no.
I don't even know who it is yet and I'm upset.
It's Drake.
Oh, Drizzy, you're coming.
Yeah. So more tour dates have been announced for It's All a Blur tour. There's new batch of 2024 dates. J. Cole's going to be touring along with him. And they're all US dates, so they're, like, kicking about the US. They get a lot of the big acts because, obviously, traveling around their hometown, why not? There was rumour back in about August this year that Drake was going to be coming down under in November.
I just want one dance, you know?
Yeah, same.
Is it too much to ask?
Yeah, pretty much. Look, his last visit to Australia was back in 2017, so it's well and truly time.
He's due.
For another visit, yes. So hopefully as more dates are being announced and he's announcing his support acts as well, because I do believe he's doing some shows with 21 Savage. He's got J. Cole with these new dates that have been released today. That's kicking off in January for about 2 months after that. So then what are his plans for 2024?
Well, I don't know. It's God's plan.
Exactly. Hey, it is God's plan indeed. Hey, speaking of our big artists and coming to Australia, somebody who has touched down.
Hold on, we're going home.
We're here.
Yeah. Oh, it's more Drake references.
I just love Drake. I wish he was coming here.
Who actually is here, though?
I was going to let the Drake joke slide. Robbie Williams is here.
Big. Wow.
See, now massive. That gets me excited.
Massive
news. I want
my
Robbie.
Oh, he's very good, isn't he?
About Drake.
He's got a new tour kicking off in Sydney. That's happening on the 16th of November. So what's that? 2 days' time. So Thursday night in Sydney. Then he's going Brisbane, Melbourne, Geelong, Swan Valley and WA. So he's kicking it about a bit. And he arrived via private jet. Now, as a bit of a side note, my partner works at Bankstown Airport where all the private jets fly in.
Yeah.
And did she see him this morning?
Mm. No, did she?
No, she didn't.
But it
would have been good.
If only.
But yes, he's here. If you got tickets to go see Robbie Williams, very, very jealous. His XXV World Tour. So I'm sure that's a Roman numeral subscription.
Yeah, 25.
There we go.
I love that.
There's not much going on up here, I can tell you that. But yes, Robbie Williams is down under, so welcome back down under, Robbie.
So when's he coming to McDonald Jones?
Oh, see, I wish he was.
He's got his own private jet. Just fly up here. It wouldn't take long.
Hey, it would be easy, wouldn't it? He can jet set anywhere he wants to go. And look, even if the Uber fee was a couple of $100, that's chump change to Robbie Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he could afford an Uber up to Newcastle.
Get on the train.
Yeah, exactly. That's even cheaper.
I love living in my part of East Maitland, the Rathluber Estate.
Oh, yes. Very fancy.
It is a very, very nice part of the world.
Yeah.
And there are lots of people that like to walk around the area, particularly down to the lagoon, you know, and then back up the road.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, though, there's no footpaths on...
At all?
No, not on my part of the estate, no. So on my street, there's no footpaths.
That's crazy.
Which means that all of these people walking around the area, doing it for exercise, and some of them just, you know, because they need to get to wherever they're going,
yeah,
are walking on the road.
Yeah, that's no good, is it?
No,
it seems unsafe.
So yesterday there was a guy that came around the bend a bit too fast, and there was a couple walking down the street who normally walk down the street every day, and they had to scamper up onto the curb, and I was sitting there, you know, and just thinking, That was close.
Yeah, that's not cool at all.
But I was also reminded that I used to walk on the street every day. So when I was really sick, right, back when migraine was bad, before the magic drugs came and changed my life, I didn't drive for 7 years and I've gotten very little feeling in my right foot. So I don't like walking on grass the best of times, right? It's soft and I tend to fall over. So, you know, I walk on the road or I walk on the footpath if there is one. But most of the area doesn't have footpaths. There's some really nice walking paths that have been specially built and
cycled. Yeah.
But, you know, ordinary footpaths just to get from house to house don't seem to exist. I don't know where, at what time, you know, councils everywhere seem to decide this was a good budget cut.
Yeah, well, they just don't need it anymore.
No, we don't need footpaths anymore. What do we need those for?
It seems unsafe.
It's very unsafe. Now, if you are pushing a pram, you're a kid trying to learn how to ride a bike, if you're in a wheelchair, if you need a walker, any of those people,
yep,
grass isn't an option and the road really isn't safe either.
Yeah, so true.
So I don't know what we can do about this, because we're talking about, like, most of the streets, I think, in Australia, probably. I mean, there will probably be some part, some council somewhere that decided not to make this budget cut, but certainly it seems to be one of those things that somewhere kind of in the mid-90s, they went, nah, let's just not build footpaths anymore.
Mm.
So you have this really bizarre kind of situation where you'll have one street that'll have a footpath and the next street won't, and then they'll have some that are like, you know, start at the curb and they go for like 10 metres and then just stop in the middle of the block.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I have seen them. They're frustrating.
It makes no sense, right?
Nah. So I think we need a footpath revolution. Maybe a Stephen petition.
Yeah, well, I can think about starting the petition. That's what I'm really good at. Thinking about maybe one day perhaps starting a petition. That's my strength.
Footpaths for everyone. Viva the footpath.
Let's do this thing.
New FM is local as, and you're waking up. You're waking up with the Novos.
New FM.
Now, Kath, yesterday you gave us a countdown to Christmas.
Yes.
And it is right around the corner.
So close.
Mm. And there's a couple signs that you know Christmas is not too far away. I mean, I drove past Waratah Village the other day. They've got all the, like, excessive lights and decorations up on top of all the stores.
Sign number one.
I mean, you can get Santa photos in the mall now. That's another great sign.
Sign number two. You start hearing
Christmas songs here and there everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the one that really is synonymous with Christmas in the Hunter is the signs have started popping up again for prawn home delivery. They come up every year. I don't know if you've seen them yet, Kath.
I haven't, no.
But basically, if, next time you stop at any light in Newcastle or the Hunter, have a look. I guarantee you there'll be a sign somewhere for, like, prawn home delivery, perfect for Christmas. It'll just be some bloke's number.
Yeah.
It's his mobile number.
So often it feels like it's done with a Sharpie on a bit of Corfluke. You know, they're just written it up there, real thick writing.
Not very high budget, but, so synonymous with Christmas. I don't know how they must have a whole team just putting these out.
Because the
stretch of these signs is so far and wide. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, that's when, for me, I know Christmas is right around the corner. It's comforting. I feel good.
Jingle bells.
You know I do like a good box delivery, so I'll
prawn box. Get one to your house.
Speaking of my house, I'm looking for a housemate.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to need Newcastle's help in filtering out who I shouldn't let live with me.
Okay. We'll get that info up next as you wake up with the Novos here at New FM.
Over the weekend, I decided quite randomly, really quite suddenly, to get a housemate for a whole lot of reasons. Yeah. One is I don't like living alone.
Yeah, company's nice, right? Yeah.
Nice to have dinner with people, you know, rather than kind of just eating a ham sandwich because you couldn't be stuffed doing anything else. You know, make an actual meal for the family, you know. And also, you know, cost of living.
Financially, yeah.
Financially, it makes a lot of sense. Plus, you know, housing crisis. Feel bad for all these people that don't have somewhere to live. Anyway, so about 3 hours into it, I suddenly regretted this decision.
No,
because I put up an ad online, as you do, and the first couple of emails that I got were from some very strange people. You know, each to their own. Everybody do their thing. But, you know, when you message someone and say, hey, I want to move into your house and can you please move all of your furniture out so that I can put my furniture in, that's not going to go well.
Nah. Some people have been looking for a house for a long time for a reason.
Yeah.
Some people are real unlucky, you know. They've had a hard run of it. Mm. Other people need to, assess the way they're going about it.
Yeah. In fact, there was a couple that, you know, had pretty decent sub stories and made me feel bad. One that's actually, like, homeless, which I felt really bad about. So I'll let him come around and look at the room and stuff, and then I heard his story, which was all, you know, drugs and jail and yada yada yada, and he doesn't have a job, and I'm like, you are not my problem. I feel bad for you. I really do. I'd like to, you know, give you somewhere to stay, but...
Your safety has to come first.
My safety has to come first, and the bills have to be paid. And I think that's kind of, you know... But I thought I would, you know, put it to the team, give me some help, because it's been a little while since I had a flatmate, right? So I've lived by myself for about the last 9 months since I moved down to Newry, and up at home in the New England, I was living with my ex. So it's been a while since I vetted a housemate.
Yeah, yeah.
What are the rules now?
Well, there's lots of different rules. There's stuff you should be looking out for, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, someone who's been doing this a lot as of late is our favourite journo, Jess from the newsroom. I know you're in a similar predicament. You must have a lot of red flags because you've struggled to find a housemate as well.
I have struggled. I, in fact, just gave up and decided I prefer my own company and I need to suck it up and just pay the bills on my own. But if Alfred is standoffish to said person, that's a no. Dogs always know when someone's a bit
dodgy.
Funny,
sense.
Dodgy.
Yep, yep.
If you're really chatty, probably a no, because unlike you, Kath, I like to make my own dinner and eat dinner on my own. I don't need company
dinner. You two can't live together. That's ruled out. I thought I had a solution to both your problems. Unfortunately not.
No, definitely not. Interesting.
Silent company is what I want. You know, a silent house partner that pays the bills, but I don't necessarily know that they're there.
So you want someone
always
to,
a good thing.
Yeah, come out when you go. You haven't asked them the questions, not you. You know, not the other way around. Yeah. That's a good sign.
Paying
for
but
you.
Not heard.
And indeed, one of the guys that did come around to look at the room didn't shut up for an hour.
Oh,
no! And it was kind of like, no, this isn't happening.
I'm giving you this straight away to that guy. That sounds like an absolute punish.
All right. Well, I've got a couple of things you should look out for when people come have a look. Two that I can just think of off the dome is I reckon you got to eliminate people who are wearing frames with no actual glass in them. Remember that was like a trend in like the 2000s? Well, I just feel like they're like devious, trying to fool people, act like something they're not. You can't trust someone like that. So,
randomest thing I've heard.
Well, in the rare instance that they come
turn
around,
up
and they're wearing frames with no actual glass in them.
Okay, well, we just rule them out.
Another one I think you should do is like a police-style lineup with a bunch of like Omo or Cold Power products, you know, like washing products.
Right.
And see if they can discern the difference between like fabric softener, washing powder, stuff. Because you want someone who's clean.
That
and
is
who
true.
Who cleans their stuff, who doesn't stink all the
and
time.
And does their own laundry.
So if you're can you point to the fabric softener of these five products? They can't do that.
They're out.
I reckon instantly. Instantly going, they're the two I reckon you should implement in your search at the moment.
For me, it's when they turn up, right? They should have taken the time to groom themselves.
Yes, actually.
Because it shouldn't be, but it is a bit of like a job interview. You know?
It is. Yeah.
You should look grotty, you probably are.
Exactly. If you can't even be bothered to put on a clean shirt to go and meet your new housemate. It's an absolute no from me. Move on to the next place. If you want to go live in a tip, there's one out at Summerhill. You know, you can go live out there.
Rathluber.
All right, Newcastle, what else have you got for me? What other things should I know in looking for a housemate? We did put this up on the socials last night. Is there any advice there for me, Stephen?
Yeah, a couple people who have got some tongue-in-cheek advice for you. I mean, Rod says it's pleasant on the eye helps if someone is, you know. Which I think he means is clean and presents well. I can only assume something like that. Alison, however, has got some more, you know, serious advice. She's saying someone who's tidy, reliable with money is, you know, important. And Dean reckons someone that respects Saturday for the boys. You need to be able to go to the pub.
4967-4105, if you have some better advice for me than that. I'm sure Newcastle does. There's lots of good advice all around the internet, really.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one of those things, you almost need to just, you know, do it a bit on gut feel, I think.
The vibe is so important. But around the money thing, something as well to keep in mind, even though, like, officially they're not maybe on the lease or whatever, get a bond from them and say that up front. Because if they're already objecting to that, if they're already like, oh, I don't have the money or whatever, already a really bad sign. You want to make sure you can get like 4 weeks or something.
4 weeks? Yeah. You want more than 4 weeks, I reckon.
Sick. How old do you reckon?
Nah, 4 is standard.
4 weeks or 4 plus the 2 of this, you know, the next 2 or something like that. And if they're objecting to that, then you're already in all sorts of trouble, I reckon.
If you're not putting them on the lease, 8 weeks, I reckon.
Nah. 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Man.
9 weeks, 10 weeks.
Do what I want. I'm the king of the castle. I control the money.
Scott, have you got some better advice for me?
I've got a great piece of advice for you, Kath. When somebody is moving in, you've got to make the intentions of the household as clear as anything. Mm. I once moved into a household and after 4 days, she tried a bit of making a move on me. After 4 days, and I went, it's a no chance, Lance. I was seeing somebody at the time, and she actually asked me if I was up for being unfaithful in my relationship. And I went, absolutely not. See you later. Moved out the next day.
You weren't trying to move in with Rod, were you? He's quite pleasant on the eye, and that's what he wants. That's his one non-negotiable.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is the Novos. You're waking up with the Novos.
105.3 New FM.
Now, I quite often say this show is both entertaining and educational. Mm. So it's our mantra, really. So yep. Up next, I'm going to educate you on perhaps if you've been to the beach of late and you've seen something quite confronting, a bunch of dead birds washed up on the shore. I'll explain what's going on, give you a bit of a PSA in minutes.
Now, obviously, with the Optus down, everyone got given like 20 gig of data if you're with Optus, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people going, what am I going to do with 20 gig of data on my phone? You know, you can't use that in any useful way. Well, here's a good way you can give it. You can actually go onto the Optus app and donate it to kids in need.
Right.
So kids and young people that, like, can't afford a plan or whatever, you can donate over a couple gig at a time. And yeah. That just helps them maybe looking for a job or to help with their schoolwork, that sort of thing. It's an actual good use of that big bunch of data that you'll never use.
So Optus has gone, the best gift is giving. And here you go, I'll give you a bunch of data that you can then give.
Well, that feature's been there for ages. So if you have leftover at the end of the month, okay. Right, you can donate it. But that's an actual use of it. Because who's going to use all that data on their phone?
Yeah, you can't go through it for trying, can you?
Exactly. So there's a good one to help someone out for nothing. As you wake up with the Novos here at New FM.
And I mentioned it yesterday, but Saturday I enjoyed the good weather and went down to Reddit.
Nice.
So I went to Cargo Espresso for brekkie, then, you know, like had a dip, watched the surf comp, went with a couple of my teammates from Abysmal Ability, my five-a-side team.
Yeah, so, local team.
Yeah, beautiful day, thought we'd enjoy the weather, go and enjoy a beach day. And while for the most part I had a pleasant experience, I couldn't help but notice that there was maybe on the shore there, about half a dozen dead birds just washed up on the beach. Hmm. Now, this is pretty confronting, especially when these, like, you know, this is probably all within just a 70 or 80 metre stretch of the coastline.
Yeah.
So you're not even, you know, looking far into the horizon. They're all kind of just there or thereabouts, right in front of you. So you guys know me. I'm a, you know, seeker of truth, a finder of facts.
That's what you're all about.
So I thought I'd do a bit of research and dive to the bottom of this. So after a quick Google, I found that these birds are called shearwaters, or mutton bird is also what they're commonly called. And at the moment, they're migrating from Alaska all the way to Tasmania to breed. So this
is amazing.
10,000 kilometre journey. So, I mean, that's a long, long way to travel.
Long way to breed.
It takes them like 4 weeks or something like that. And I imagine they're not stopping very often, you know. They're not enjoying the sights and going, oh, let's go into the big banana on the way. You know?
None of that sort of gear.
I don't think they're stopping for photo opportunities or anything like that. I think they're pretty set on just getting there as quick as they can. So this 4 week journey, but unfortunately, Mike Roderick, who's from BirdLife Australia, said it's quite normal for birds to unfortunately perish along the way because they get exhausted, they get hungry, and unfortunately they just like fly themselves to the point of exhaustion where they cannot continue any further. So he said, on that epic migration, you can imagine that it wouldn't take much for something to go wrong and unfortunately the birds to perish. But what has gone wrong is a bit uncertain at the moment. It's kind of got experts a little bit divided. So some are saying that, I mean, we have seen it firsthand, anecdotally. We've had some unseasonal storms at the moment. Like, it is raining an exceptional amount for November.
Out of nowhere sometimes, you just sit there, it's sunny, and then you've got a massive storm, which is so weird.
So some experts are saying that storm weather could be, you know, almost the straw that broke the camel's back and could have been the thing that unfortunately had the birds perish. Other experts are saying a giant eddy, I think it's called, a big gust of wind, has caused sea warming, which would also, you know, increase temperatures, would exhaust the birds, harder to work when, you know, it's a hotter temperature. So while it is confronting to see it on the beach, there's no real need to panic. Stuff like this happens from time to time. Unfortunately, it's part of nature. So if the bird is found exhausted but alive, your best bet, best thing to do is call Wildlife Rescue, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, see if they can do anything for you.
Yeah, wise.
And if you feel comfortable and feel safe, you could transport the bird in a box with like a cool towel to your nearest vet where they can look after it. But if you've had no experience before,
best
leave it to the experts. Yeah. So Wildlife Rescue is the place to go. You can sort it out with them and they can hopefully, you know, like nurture these birds back to good health. Mm. But no need to panic. It's unfortunately something that happens in nature and it's confronting to see, but it's nothing out of the norm. You know, it's just, it's part of life.
I think it's a bit like the fish kills, which were really confronting to look at. Mm-hmm. And obviously you don't want to have it happen, but when you have weather where it goes really hot, really cold, really hot, really cold, like it's been doing, nature doesn't deal that well with that.
No, not at all. And if they got the hungry thirsty, they should have just had a bit of an oak on the way down. It would be all good. And it's time to award our caller of the day, which is always exciting. And that goes to Colin in Cessnock, who is not a fan of Stephen stealing the towel from the hotel. In fact, says,
"He's a very naughty boy."
Real convenient that Colin was on your side, Creevo, and you've awarded him the $100 for Revolution Sports Bar.
As is my right.
I'm not sure about that. Anyway, of course, we'll have more vouchers to give away tomorrow, plus passes to our preview screening of One True Love. So you want to stick around for those goodies. Also tomorrow, after their first win on the weekend, woo-hoo! Ryan Scott joins us from the Jets. Very excited to get that winning feeling from him.
Absolutely. And if you are a diehard Newcastle Jets fan, New FM is the official radio station of the Newcastle Jets, and we are giving you the opportunity to have the best seats in the house.
Come on.
Go to our website, newfm.com.au. Scroll down on the right-hand side. You'll see a thing that says best seats in the house. Click on that, and you just fill in the form, and you and three lucky companions could be there at the ground, literally right on the sideline, in next to the players, the coaches, and see behind-the-scenes action. It's going to be awesome.
Now, they say you're next to the players and coaches. What they've left out there is you're also next to the stretcher bearers.
So you get to see Stephen there and rub his little shaved head. He loves that. Stephen, you're a good stretcher bearer. You're doing a good job.
So on the New FM website to go there? Yeah. All the details?
On the right-hand side, you're looking for that best seats in the house graphic.
That is us done for today. Have a great day, everyone. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.
Bye.
I've been listening to your show on the radio.
You've been listening to the Novos. Would you like some more?
Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or newfm.com.au to get more now.